Welcome to Real Estate Coaching Radio, starring award-winning real estate coaches and number one international best-selling authors, Tim and Julie Harris. Real Estate Coaching Radio is the nation's number one daily radio show for realtors who demand authentic, real-time coaching. Get ready for fluff-free, unfiltered, full-strength honesty about what's truly working to get you into action, helping others, and making money now in today's real estate market. Now to our hosts, Tim and Julie Harris. We're joined today by superstar realtor Rick Jansen, a real estate industry veteran who transitioned from his former career as a lawyer into real estate back in 2002 and hasn't looked back since. With an MBA in marketing, a semi-professional photography hobby, and an entrepreneurial spirit, Rick launched into the top 7% of his market, rated by dollar volume. His numerous awards have been recognized in Forbes, the Denver Business Journal, 5280 Magazine, and Top Agent Magazine. He and his wife renovated a home on HGTV's professional grade, and Rick actively fixes and flips homes as what he calls his side hustle. Rick is a Harris Certified Coach affiliate. In December of 2019, Rick made the decision to move his independent brokerage Denver Lifestyle to eXp Realty. Now, let's welcome Rick to the call as we join our host, Tim Harris.
All right. Thank you for that great introduction, Tim. I really appreciate it. So, as Tim just said, I'm very pleased to welcome my co-host to today's podcast, Mr. Rick Jansen. So, Rick, I really appreciate your time today.
Hey, thanks, Tim. I really love being on here.
So, Rick, you sell real estate where? Let them know a little bit about you, how long you've been in the business, all that good stuff.
Sure. I'm in the greater Denver area, so the seven counties of Denver. Been selling real estate full-time since 2002 when I left my practice as an attorney.
I didn't realize you were an attorney first.
Yeah, I was an attorney doing contract law of an MBA in marketing.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, that explains a lot when I communicate with you why you sound so professional. I understand now. So that's
billing,
interesting. Go ahead.
Billing every 6 minutes of your day is no way to make a living.
No, I imagine not. You know, it is interesting how many people with professional backgrounds like yours get into real estate. I'm sort of curious now that I'm learning this about you. You spent a lot of time in school. You spent a lot of time pursuing a path that would be the exact opposite of the path of a real estate professional. Why did you walk away from all that education? Well, obviously it's still in your head, but you know what I mean. Why did you walk away from that professional career path and decide to be an independent contractor selling real estate?
Well, I've always had a passion for homes, Tim. I can walk in a home and see the future of the home, the potential in a home, and I love spotting up and coming neighborhoods. And what I realized is I love working with people, wanted to teach people, wanted to coach people, and I thought that's what you could do as an attorney. But as it turns out, as an attorney, really you're just a high-priced McDonald's employee, and the only way to make any more money is to bill more time. Whereas in real estate, you can multiply your time and effort either through other agents, through yourself, and sell if you want to make more money, sell a higher priced property.
You mean you can create leverage, basically, whereas when you're just selling your time, there's no leverage because once you're done selling time, you've got nothing else to sell. That's in essence what you're saying, correct?
Exactly. Leverage was key.
Yeah. So is that when you were pursuing real estate, obviously you sell homes. What other things are you involved in as far as in the real estate world? I have a feeling it's going to be way more than just selling houses.
There are quite a few things. I do a little property management on the side. Also have been fixing and flipping homes, trying to get to a point where we fix and hold because that's where the real cash is, but supervise a couple of crews doing that here in the Denver area, buying investment properties, syndicating, kind of pulling together other people's money, not syndicating, but doing member-managed LLCs to put people together to flip properties. And then I continue to go on buyer tours and list properties as well. Also do some coaching.
Yes, you do. You're one of our certified coaches, actually, a Harris Certified Coach. So talk to us about what's going on in the greater Denver area. You and I have exchanged some texts prior to today's interview, and I know that your state has seen a really interesting growth as far as the inflow of cash from the legalization of marijuana and some other things that have been going on. So talk to the folks all over the country about what's going on in your market in particular, in your state, as much as you feel comfortable.
Sure. And the other driver of our market really has been the tech sector. There's a corridor between Denver and Boulder on I-36 that really is attracting sort of the back office of Google and others. We've had just a huge IT boom here, and tons of unfilled jobs. We have about 3.5% unemployment at the moment, and huge
Wow.
commercial development as well. So, with 3.5% unemployment, wages keep going up, and then home prices keep going up. We've been underbuilding the Denver market probably 10,000 homes a year for the whole since from like 2008, the start of the recession, through about 2013. So it really wasn't then that new home builders started taking off again, but inventory continues to lag way behind. What we have seen recently, starting probably in about August or September of last year, was inventory crept up from 1 month of inventory, which means everything on the market can sell in 30 days, to probably about a month and a half to 2.5 months of inventory, depending upon the price point. This has slowed things down a little bit. Instead of 15 offers on a property sub 400, you now maybe have four, but you still have four competing offers in a bidding war.
Yeah,
But
well, yeah.
we are seeing prices go probably, we were seeing some neighborhoods go up 10 to 20% a year over year for 4 years in a row. So we've really catapulted up in value. But homes over $1 million now are slowing. You're seeing about maybe 40%, 46% of those have a price reduction now. People are still trying to overreach. They're still trying to price like it was last spring, and it's not. But we will probably still see a steady 3 to 5% appreciation for the next year or two.
So I'm curious. That was interesting what you just said. So in one price segment, and listeners, the reason I'm going to drill down on what he just said is because it's important that you understand the your market price segments as well. It's critical. I heard him say, and correct me if I'm wrong here, that under 400,000 things are still selling. You said with 3 to 4 competing offers, but over a million, there's big price reduction. So we could say hypothetically there's some value loss that's happening in certain price ranges. But the same when you say that overall 5% appreciation, you're not referring to obviously the more expensive real estate. So if you could just sort of break down how you're seeing the market in different price ranges, that would help benefit the listeners because they need to learn how to do the same thing.
Sure. I would say sub 250,000 is lightning round. You better still be out there in the first 4 hours. Put your hand on the buzzer and say yes, please. And there's still, we're still in a wave inspection, wave appraisal type of situation down there. From 250 to 500, the pedal's still under the metal, as it were, to use a car analogy. It's pretty fast. But home buyers are becoming a lot more sophisticated with all the tools that are publicly available, so they still will not overpay. So the danger is agents that are inexperienced or just inexperienced in pricing will still go to market too high. And as you know, Tim, and as you teach through Harris Coaching, if you price too high, you're going to sell for below market value because you're just going to chase the market down. And so if you can find those homes that are slightly overpriced, there's a little more time to breathe and think. From 500 to about 800, there we're still seeing steady appreciation in market. And then again, once it's over a million, we are seeing those price reductions because the sellers are saying, hey, my home is worth 1.2. It's really worth about 1,050,000. And if you price it at 1,200,000, you're going to sell for 980. And that just happens time and time again. They overreach and then they come in losing tons of money.
Aspirational pricing is what we call it. That's a
I like
nice way of
that.
saying it. Okay, I'm sure many of you at this point are somewhat curious about eXp. It's something that seems to be on everyone's mind. eXp is obviously one of the fastest growing real estate brokerages in the history of real estate. I'm going to save you the effort of having to do a lot of Googling and a lot of research. We've prepared a video for you. All you have to do is text the word eXp, that's it, just text the word eXp to 31996. Go ahead and do that now. Text the word eXp to 31996, and you're going to be sent a link, and you can watch a quick 7-minute video that eXp has provided so that you can get all your questions answered about eXp. It's just a fantastic business model. Seriously, consider texting the word eXp to 31996. So it's in those upper end price ranges then. If someone's purchased in just the past couple of years, it's entirely likely that they're going to lose money.
Yes and no. So if they way overpaid for something, then yes. And there were cases where people over a million were still in a bidding war frenzy, and they thought, as long as the market goes up 5-10% a year, I'm fine. If they way overshot, then yes. If you conservatively priced a home and put an offer in, the market's going to accept that. But what I always do with my clients is I say, hey, if you buy a home and you decide within a year it's the wrong one, I'll sell it for free.
That's
And that's
great.
just kind of my guarantee is it gets people over that little fear of, am I doing the wrong thing? And it gives people permission to buy. They're so scared to buy a home and make the wrong decision. You have to give them that permission. And so I say, hey, you know what? We're still going to have to pay a buyer's agent 2.8% or whatever it is for the local market, but I'll waive my side.
So in a market where all this is, and this is very, this is how most of the country is, what you're describing, this type of, pricing, where we're seeing the softness, where we're seeing things still be a very competitive. How does new construction fit into all this? Because you said new construction's fallen back by 10,000 homes per year. In your marketplace, what price range are the builders building in, and what is that? Is it causing softness in the resale market of in similarly priced homes?
It only causes softness if you're building new right next to an established community, right? So, and most of the building right now is happening above 500,000 just because builders can't get the land cheap enough to buy anything that's quasi affordable. The average home price right now in Denver is 440, but by way of perspective, the average home price in Boulder just up the road is 1,040,000. Whole different reason for that. But the builders are coming in, in the low 400s or whatever, and you walk out the door at 550. So typically speaking, it's 550 and up is really where they're building, and it's tough. It's tough for everybody. But there just is no new home construction. So that's where, the fix and flip opportunity is if you can come in on an estate sale, on a foreclosure, on something like that. And you can kind of prime that 300 to 400 market, you're pretty guaranteed you're going to get out of your investment when you fix and flip.
So let's talk a little bit about specifically, you and I have exchanged, we've communicated a lot before today's show. In your marketplace, you're seeing all these iBuyer companies. You're seeing the technologists come in and try to essentially disintermediate, in use that overused term from the 90s, agents from the real estate equation. You said, essentially making, you felt like when you were selling your time, you felt like you were an hourly employee working at McDonald's, right? And so that seems to be the vision that these technologists have of a lot of the future of the average real estate practitioner. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't think the iBuyers are going to make a huge toehold. I mean, Redfin's trying to come in here with their 1% listing fees. We have a local company that also does a very reduced fee, and they offer $1,500 to the buyer's agent as a flat fee. And that flat fee company has a tremendous market share. I think they did $432 million in sales last year. Last I heard, they're trying to do an IPO and go national. But that said, the iBuyer program, it's really based off of fear, and in my opinion. And that's because someone's afraid that they're going to, they're going to have too many showings, or they're going to sit on the market, or they're going to own two homes, or they're not going to have a place to go, or they're going to misprice it, they're going to choose the wrong agent, all of those fears, right? And so the iBuyer comes in and says, hey, we'll give you an offer of $400,000 for your house. Well, the house is really worth $480,000. And so anytime anybody's offering cash for a home, there's got to be a profit margin in it for them, unless Wall Street's backing them and they can lose money every day, which unfortunately is the case with some of these iBuyer programs. But they also won't, like I just out of curiosity requested a valuation on my house from Opendoor, and they won't do anything over 600,000. So when your average price point in Denver's 440, that cuts out a lot of the market just right there. So I'm not sure how much of a toehold they're going to get.
I think nationwide, a lot of these guys, when the market started to slow down, I think they limited all the iBuyer types. They're the ones that there's three or four that people talk about all the time, but there's actually a ton of little iBuyers that have popped up. And most of them are venture funded, as Rick said. Most of them are baked into the cake that they're going to lose money for the first few years as they try to gobble market share. That's the thing that's interesting to watch is that all these big investment companies are moving, and some of the biggest hedge funds in the world are moving into the iBuyer space. International money is moving into the iBuyer space. And they literally, and podcast listeners, it's important you understand this. When you're trying to explain, don't try to use your normal real estate investor type brain trying to understand how these businesses work. I read this on Inman all the time, where people, argue back and forth about how can a company stay in business and lose money. Well, it's easy because they have a big old, rich uncle called SoftBank that keeps on throwing hundreds of millions of dollars at them, with the understanding that the game here is not to make money short term. It's to make money long term. It's to make money because you've become the most dominant iBuyer company in the world. That's where these guys are moving. So the competition in this iBuyer space is massive. And that's the reason that Zillow, essentially, it seems, if you read the interviews with the new CEO, has essentially completely pivoted on their business model and are now no longer really in the selling leads to agent business anymore, which is, they're obviously doing that now, but they're scaling that back. Rich Barton did an interview recently, and Rick and I talked about this a couple weeks ago, where basically they say, look, we're doubling down on the iBuyer space, and we're not necessarily wanting to pursue selling buyer leads to agents anymore. So, not to say I told you so, but we really did tell you so. We knew that was going to happen. We told you 2 years ago. And those of you who've built your businesses individually as agents or as brokerages on buying buyer leads, well, you're going to have some interesting challenges moving forward. So, Rick, you had some insight actually on what Zillow was going to be doing in your individual market that you kind of tipped me off to a few weeks ago. Do you mind sharing that?
Well, they're just they're really focusing on the high end folks with Zillow. So, I mean, if you're spending, they just kind of right now, from what I hear on the street, they're talking kind of exclusively per state to the people who are paying the most per month. And believe me, folks, what that dollar figure is per month would just blow you away, because it's more than most people make GCI in a year, and that's what they're spending in advertising in Zillow per month. And so Zillow's really kind of taking a look at those folks and seeing how they can juice their profit, and possibly adjusting their model.
All right, so I'm going to remind all of you want to text the word EXP to 31996. Go ahead and do that now, and you'll be texted back a link for a 7-minute video that answers all your questions about EXP. So go ahead and do that now. Text the word EXP to 31996. Takes 2 seconds, and yeah, we'll text you back with the video. You can just watch it and have all your questions answered. Right now, in the industry, agents need to basically be choosing their partners for long term. That means the brokers, they need to be selective on who they're going to work with. That means the technology companies, the CRM companies. And I'll give you even a coaching company. Let me give you an example. One of our main competitors has his own CRM. So he came out with this CRM. I won't mention the name, nor will I mention the name of his product, but it turns out his CRM was actually a white labeled version of a CRM that was recently purchased by Compass. So in essence, when you buy this, you're doing this business with this coaching company, and you decide to subscribe to a CRM. The next thing you don't realize this, maybe he didn't even tell you, because I know he didn't, but the CRM was really a white labeled version of a CRM that's just recently sold to Compass. So your information, the very thing that's the most value in your business, you now are essentially sharing with what may be a competitor of your brokerage. That is a really crappy alignment, if you ask me, where if you're using that CRM, maybe you need to take a step back and reconsider that, is whether or not that's really the direction you want to go. And Rick, speaking of, valuable partnerships, do you have something to tag on there? I have a feeling you do.
Yeah. So what the valuable partnerships is something I was thinking about when you mentioned that. It kind of triggered in my head. I kind of been looking at Zillow as the gorilla in the corner, and everybody goes to the stand, buys bananas, and feeds it. And it's getting bigger and bigger, and one day it's going to wake up and realize it's King Kong, right? And King Kong can do whatever the heck King Kong wants. But we've all bought the bananas that fed him, right? And there are some big competitors out there. And I've had my own brokerage for 16 years. At one point, I had 10 agents in my firm, and it was costing me a lot of sleep, a lot of stress on my marriage and my family. And I started realizing, like, okay, how much is that actually of value to me? To, stroking the ego to have a 10-person firm, but how is my little 10-person firm going to compete in terms of agent attraction, client attraction, and all of those things versus the monsters that are growing and then gobbling? And I started looking around and kind of woke up to the fact that there are some new models out there. The biggest one I found, the best one I found, the one I actually switched to in December was EXP. And a lot of my agents ended up coming with me. And I started realizing, like, I've got to do something different than I've done for the past 16 years, right? That market no longer exists. and while possibly could eke out a living for the, and eke out, I'm in the top 7% in Denver, right? So I could eke out a living for the next 10 or 15 years, but do I really want to die on a listing appointment? I don't, right? I want to actually spend some time with my family. I want to
You
spend some time
hold
with
on,
my wife.
Rick, yeah, I need to preface what you're saying, because he means physically die, age out of the business, basically go to the next listing appointment in the sky, I think is what he's referring to, because
That is
he's,
correct.
yeah,
So
well, but it is true. I mean, real estate agents don't retire. They might stop selling real estate, but where they go after they stop selling real estate is probably not someplace that anybody wants to end up being, and that's unfortunate. And I understand completely what you're saying. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I just wanted to clarify what you were saying. So continue,
No, that's
please.
okay. I mean, I don't want to enter the gates of a Shea Home community and leave going through the pearly gates, right? Like, that's no way to go.
Exactly. I know what you're thinking. You're very curious, especially now that you're learning more about the revenue share model that eXp offers. Go ahead and text the word EXP to 31996. Just go ahead and do that now. Just text the word EXP to 31996. And we'll text you back a quick video that explains everything you need to know about eXp in just a quick 7-minute video. And we'll also give you access to having additional questions answered. So while you're thinking about it, go ahead and text the word EXP to 31996. Do that now, EXP 31996. Well, so you chose eXp, and I obviously we're doing a lot of everywhere I look, people are switching over to eXp. There's no doubt that that's going to be the big, that is probably one of the biggest mega trends I've ever seen in the over 20 years Julian I've been in the business. When I look back to when we started selling real estate in our early 20s, we're now in our late 40s, I look at the big trends that have come and gone, and there's been really some notable ones. If you go all the way back, you might want to say, like, I think Howard Britton in the 90s was a huge mega trend. Again, many of you don't know that name. And then Keller Williams was a big mega trend. And then you could even say that, Zillow was certainly a big mega trend. Buying buyer leads was a big mega trend. Branding was a big mega trend. The big dumb teams, I'm sorry, the big team model is a mega trend. All these things come and go. All these things are just basically the fashion of the usually they last 3 to 5 years, and then people start realizing that they're just a trend, or they just lose interest in them. It's kind of interesting the way those things work. But you ask yourself, well, why is it that agents will, why are they attracted to the certain things? There's social networking. There's another big. So why is it that agents are attracted to those things, and why do they lose interest in those things? They really do find a lot of those things, and some of like social networking, that was exciting, that was new. But also, it was obviously a trend from the start because it was predicated on the idea that you weren't going to have to do real work anymore. You weren't going to have to do what you didn't want to do, and you didn't want to do it at the highest level. So, listeners, if you're ever trying to discern if something's real or not, and look, you can make money short term in a new trend. Don't get me wrong. When Julie and I were selling real estate and Google just started selling pay-per-click ads, I remember it was like November, December, I don't remember what year, but I was experimenting with pay-per-click ads and we were doing really well for like 6 months. And then everyone else figured out what we were doing. So you can make money in the very short term with trends, but ultimately, the way you know whether something's a trend or not, the way you know whether something is really worth you investing a lot of your time and energy in, is the answer to this one question: am I doing this to avoid the real work? And the real work is basically putting yourself in a position to potentially hear no from a potential buyer or seller. So if you can answer the question truthfully, that's the highest and best use of your time doing whatever that thing is that you're to say, I'm going to spend my time working on my brand. Well, why exactly? Well, I don't really know. Okay, then maybe you shouldn't do it. Maybe you should learn how to be a really good, hunting expireds, or really good at pricing listings, or this core stuff that everyone looks for. Rick, actually, that's kind of, I'm going to take a half step back. As someone who has a large, real formal professional background, does this surprise you how little expertise there is in real estate? Did you find that when you were an attorney and when you were in your marketing backgrounds with your MBAs and all that? Are you kind of surprised how little agents invest in their education?
The barrier to entry is very low, and then nobody, and I am surprised actually at how few people do invest in coaching and humbling themselves to go forward. And that humbling yourself is one of the things I had to do. And that's been a hard journey. But even when I first heard about eXp, I kicked and screamed in the corner like a baby for 6 months, saying, "No, I can do it better. My model's better. I can resist. I can keep going." until I finally woke up and started realizing people with $100 million businesses, $200 million businesses, doing 300 transactions a year, removing the EXP, they might be doing it better than I am, and maybe they know something I don't know. And so I started trying to figure out what they knew that I didn't know. And
well, what did they know that you didn't know? We'll talk about it. So why were the specific reasons why you moved EXP?
There are a number. Partially right out of the gate, I mean, one of the things that people talk about is you can do the same amount of work but now get paid three ways as opposed to one. So you still get your commission, and the splits are very competitive. And so a lot of the people I talk to on my show, Top Cloud Agents, I'm interviewing icon agents and top agents around the country. They're getting paid 115, 120% on their deals. So they're like, what are you talking about, a split? I get paid by my company to work. We'll go into more of that later. But so you get paid on your deals, and everybody that I've talked to is still working hard. They're still selling homes. They're still calling expireds. They're still doing what they have to do. And the second way is you get stock for attracting people to the company, just sharing it with people when you're talking out and about. And people are like, what's the EXP? You tell them, they join, you get stock. You get stock for your closings. You can buy stock at a discount every closing. And then the third way is through a revenue share. It's kind of like a referral fee for agents when they do business if you've referred them into the company. You're helping to build the company by introducing agents to the company, so the company says, hey, we'll reward you on that. And so you get paid three ways for just buying and selling real estate. That's fantastic, right? And then you add to that, the culture's wonderful, the training's wonderful, the technology's wonderful. I'm saving a ton of money there. Like I'm getting masterminds with top producers around the country that have absolutely no affiliation with me. They'll just sit down and talk with me for an hour on the phone or in the cloud. I can pick their brain about just about any topic, and you can learn so much. And everybody is just walking into the room with open hands to give. And if they receive something, fine. But it's such a giving culture. It's fantastic.
Well, we work with a lot of the top brokerages in the country. And which brokerage should I choose is always like one of the top questions we get pretty much all year round. And when's it time to switch brokerage, or if I switch brokerage, which brokerage would I? And the answer we've always, Julie and all of our coaches have always given in the past is, you know, kind of a BS answer, really. It's kind of whichever one you like the best, because the truth is brokerages were all identical, really. It used to be Remax when Julie and I were in the business. You'd pay them a flat fee and got 100%. No Mickey Mouse, you're good. Now everyone's kind of doing these iterations of each other. They're doing, you know, caps and commission splits and da-da-da-da-da-da. So they're all the same. And really, technology-wise, what they're offering is all the same. But here's what shocks me about what's happening with a lot of these brokerages. And I'll use Keller Williams as an example, and I'm just sort of presenting. I'm not being critical of what they're doing. But they're coming out with this app. They've already come out with it. You know, and they're pressing agents to get into their CRM and pressing agents to get this app to as many of their past clients and centers of influences and past clients and friends and family and whatnot. So here's the problem with that. And I want everyone to be very clear, because this is, as I said earlier, this is what's happening. We're having a bifurcation, the separation of between the technologists and the traditional approach to real estate. Maybe traditional is not a strong enough way to say it, but this is essentially the bottom line. People that want agents to be relevant and people that don't want agents to be relevant. People that want agents to basically be successful business owners. People that want agents to basically learn how to perfect saying the words, do you want fries with that? I know I'm trying to be funny, but what I'm saying is also true. So if you are a Keller Williams agent and you're deciding that you want to have this Keller Williams app, it's going to be brilliant. Gary Keller is brilliant. Gary Keller's app idea is brilliant. As soon as that thing's loaded onto the iPhones and Androids of all your centers of influence and past clients, that app, along with the incredible artificial intelligence that's going to go behind it, is going to have a relationship with your center of influence and past client. Now, yes, when you leave, if you go to Keller Williams and you move over to ABC Mortgage or ABC Real Estate, whatever, you're going to take your database with you. So, yes, you keep your data, but do they turn that app off? If the 300 of your centers of influence and past clients, all these relationships you've worked your whole career to try to carve out so you become the trusted name in those people's minds when it comes to selling real estate, who are they going to go to when you basically, you've been supplemented, if not replaced, by this app? This app is going to be, the way it was described to me by Gary Keller, this app is in essence going to be your house manager. It's time to refinance your mortgage. It's time to this, the other thing. They're gonna coordinate just all aspects, cover all the bases of what it takes, all the things required to be a homeowner, which, you know, are a lot. Being a homeowner is basically having a part-time job, no matter how big the house is. And so this app is going to be, in essence, like your own personal, you know, virtual property manager. The app is going to stay on their phones even if you leave the brokerage, which means the app and the brokerage, Keller Williams, are going to have the relationship. And Gary Keller said it best. He said this public many times, and many other companies are saying the same thing. I'm just using Keller Williams as an example because they're, you know, the one that's most dominant as far as they're wanting to infuse real estate with technology. Gary said he is no longer in the real estate business. He's in the technology business. Keller Williams is a technology company. Again, I'm not arguing with the validity of whether or not he needs to make that decision, but what I'm arguing with all of you and trying to convince all of you is if you're going to choose a brokerage to be with, don't you want a brokerage that's in the agent business, not in the freaking technology business? You see what's happened in the vision of these technologists is if you become the – do you want fries with that person? That's what you are. So, Rick,
Tim,
I'm sorry,
this is the first time I'm really – yeah, Tim, no, that's okay. It's the first time I'm really hearing about this app, but it does sound brilliant for the customer. It sounds brilliant for Gary, but it sounds like golden handcuffs. It sounds like golden handcuffs for the agent because if you do turn over your 300 per year or 30 per year transaction business to this app, people still use Zillow. I can set them up on my MLS as much as I want, and they go to Zillow to find their homes. And they will become creatures of habit. And if you want to leave at some point to go to Remax, to go to eXp, to go to Century 21, wherever, you will lose your clients, or at least, you know, 20-30% of them, because, yes, you have a relationship with some that you invite out to beer and you do your social happy hours and you do your monthly calls and everything else. If you're staying in touch with most of them, but not all of them, those you're going to lose them to the app. That's what
and
it sounds like to
me.
That sounds
No, me too. I mean, I haven't had anyone argue with me effectively that that's what the purpose of it is. And then what's essentially the technology company, Keller Williams, has the relationship with your customers. And if you're no longer at the company and that person, you know, waves their hand and say, I want to buy or sell real estate, the app, you know, and their portal is essentially the app. What's going to happen to that lead? Do you really think that now that you're no longer at Keller Williams, you think they're going to the technology company called Keller Williams is then going to somehow magically, you know, send you that lead? Hell no. They're going to refer that out to some other agent in the business. So that's where
Absolutely.
They're going.
It's
going to
go
essentially
to, it'll go to a Keller Williams agent for sure.
For sure, yeah, and who is going to pay a ridiculous fee, which is in essence, again, I'm saying, guys, pay attention who you partner with. So, look, you put together a really kick-ass short video. And how does someone get that video? It's about eXp Realty.
Yeah, it's just a quick little seven-minute intro. It kind of goes over the basics at a very high level. If you text the word MyEXP, M-Y-E-X-P, to 31996, that's MyEXP to 31996, you get just a short seven-minute video, explains kind of what eXp is about, talks about those multiple ways to earn revenue, discusses our you know, the fact we're publicly traded on NASDAQ, and it goes over kind of the core values of the company all in 7 minutes. And, you know, that really I found is a great litmus test. You know, people either are like, yeah, it's for me, it's not, right? Or it's for me or I have questions. And questions is a great place to be. I had questions for 6 months. And, you know, there are people who move in a week. There are people who move in a day. Some people are smarter than I am, and they get it. I'm just, like I said, I was a stubborn, prideful. I put up as much of a fight as I could, but now that I'm in, I'm all in. This is the last brokerage I'll be with because this is a long-term player that will be here for the rest of my career.
Well, I want to. You said something, and I wrote it down because I want to go back to it. It was kind of, you know, obviously designed to be interesting to talk about. Getting paid 110 to 120% on deals. Then you went over the fact that agents are getting stock in the company for just doing transactions and sponsoring agents, but they're also getting revenue share. And just so you can get it and go as far down those rabbit holes as you'd like to, but can you share with the listeners a little bit more about that, why that's so important to you? You also, in just tying this all together, you also said you don't want to, you know, go to the home before the home, let alone the great home in the sky while on a listing appointment. You want to have some financial exit plans out of real estate. So can you tie all that together for the Rick Jansen who is listening, who maybe is still trying to resist the idea that maybe this is the direction he needs to go?
Sure. I mean, one of the ways, or one of the reasons people build a small firm, they build a team, they buy investment properties, is to give yourself a base salary, right? We all know that if you take your foot off the pedal, 90 days later, you're going to take an income hit. And so, if you have rental properties, if you have a team that's out there working when you're not, if you have a small office that's working when you're not, you have a certain amount of income stability. And but it takes a big toll on you. As an employing broker, you have the headaches, the liability, all of that, the responsibility. As a team lead, everybody there is there like a little bird with their mouth open, wanting to be fed. And it with investment properties, that's its own nightmare, right? So you've got a level of expertise. So one of the things I found with EXP is, when I'm at a closing, I just allocate 5% of my closing check to go to buy EXP stock at 20% discount. There's a vesting period for sure, but I'm going to be with the company long term, so I really don't care. So I'm already buying stock at a 20% discount, kind of forcing myself to have a savings plan, which is fantastic. Then, when I close the deal, I just get stock from the company. When I attract an agent, I get stock from the company. And there are a number of other ways to earn stock, but one of the coolest ways to earn stock, EXP is on a split system, right? So you keep 80%, they get 20%, but only until that 20% equals 16,000. So when you've capped out at 16,000, and I didn't understand what cap meant, but it basically just means I've paid EXP 16,000 out of my commissions. From that point forward, I keep 100% for the rest of the year. Sure, there are some monthly dilly-dally fees. I mean, those aren't, you're going to have little monthly fees anywhere you go, and those are incidental. But I keep 100%. So now when I've hit, that's about, in our market, that's about $3 million in sales, right? And now I keep 100% of my commission. But now as I go forward, once I hit a certain benchmark in terms of the number of deals I've done, I get that 16,000 back in the form of stock. And that's called being an icon agent. And icon agents are the one that I'm interviewing on my topcloudagents.com site. And because they're the top agents in the cloud, right? So topcloudagents.com. And you can find a lot of this broken down there, or by texting my EXP to 31996. But when you're getting 100% of your cap back in the form of stock, that's valuable. So now you're at 100%, right? Now you're cranking. So where do you get above 100%? Well, that's in terms of the discounted stock. You've already made 20% hypothetically on the stock you just purchased. Or when I attract an agent, now I'm getting revenue share off of them. And that's what I was talking about with the referral fee. They do a deal, I get a small cut. They do a deal, I get a small cut. And that small cut is out of the 20% they pay. So it's right off the top. There's no Mickey Mouse. There's no worrying about profitability of the office. It just comes straight out of the company's share of commission because there's no brick and mortar. They have a lower overhead. They can do that. So I can calculate out very methodically, very easily, if I want to build a passive revenue business on the side, if I want that to be my side hustle instead of Lyft or Uber, and I talk to a lot of agents who are doing that these days, if I want my side hustle to be, hey, let's attract an agent once a month, it's very predictable. Hey, I can generate this much income down the road because I don't have to worry about profitability of Bob and Sue and Harry down this in my office that won't talk to me because we're competing. We're all sharing information freely. We're all working together to build the brand. We're all to build the company, rather, not just the brand, but the company and the stock value. And so now all of a sudden you start earning, let's say, I'm not going to make any income claims because we don't, but let's say you earn somewhere between $500 to $2,500 per agent per year. You can very quickly figure out how many agents do I need to build up a passive income to pay for my mortgage, to pay for my car, to pay for my base expenses. And now you have freedom. Now
Well,
you have the freedom that every coach is selling.
let me
Go ahead.
jump in. Let me jump in there. Okay, so first of all, it's funny that you said about Uber because in the last three Ubers I've taken, two of them had real estate licenses, so that was kind of funny. But let me ask you about. So I know EXP agents aren't supposed to make income claims, and that makes perfect sense. But can you just give them a rough idea based? And you mentioned that you'd kind of penciled this out. How many agents you have to sponsor, and just roughly speaking, what hypothetically that might equate to you, and how long you think that'll take?
So if you just look at the business model and you say, okay, let's attract agents who are going to do $3 million in sales and cap out, and you say, okay, what if I were just to maximize short term and quickly? And this isn't making an income claim. This is just diagramming out their business model, right? The EXP business model. If you attract five agents who are doing about $3 million in business, and they each attract about five agents who are doing $3 million in business, that very quickly is a $94,000 income.
Right. And I've talked, I'll give you an example. Someone actually we interviewed a couple of weeks ago. What was her name? Nicole. And Nicole was someone who had only recruited 15 people, and two of them had quit or retired or whatever they did. And so that left her an active group of 13. Of that 13, two of the people were, you know, they were focused. They were doing a lot of sponsoring themselves. They weren't, like, making it their jobs. They're selling houses. They're being successful. They're sponsoring people almost as a side stream benefit of doing deals like you described. Because people say, hey, tell me more about eXp when you're in the midst of the transaction or whatnot. And then, boom, there's another sponsor for you or sponsoree for you. But anyway, she ended up with 13. That group of 13 grew to 200. Now at 200, what was fascinating is she told me her numbers on the podcast, and she was making somewhere in the low 200s per year as a result of having recruit as a result of her group recruiting up to, you know, around 200 people, though she only personally had ever sponsored 13. Now I talked to her a couple, and she did that after 18 months in eXp. That's so she only ever recruited essentially effectively 13. That group grew to the low 200s organically, just those people just doing, you know, what they do. And now, after about, I think, 2 years, her group's grown up to be over 300. So,
wow.
Again, I don't know how many people she's personally recruited, but I bet you she's only up to maybe, you know, 15 or 20. That's what's really fascinating about eXp is I've never seen so many people. Obviously, they're motivated because they love the company, but they're also motivated because they're creating a income source for themselves that's not dependent on a real estate transaction. Which is pretty amazing because normal people can only do that from maybe you have a lot of money in the stock market and you're getting paid dividends, but the traditional way that normal people, by normal I mean people that weren't born with any sort of, you know, no one not being born on third and acting like you hit a homer types, you know, people that were born having to create their own wealth is through rental properties. That's what Julie and I did. But I have to say, looking back 20 some plus years, and you said this, Rick, the cost of buying the rental properties, just literally the money we had to save, the hassle, all the associated everything that goes with rental properties, we had the opportunity that, you know, I'm not a licensee, so, but it, had we had the opportunity back then, we definitely would have been eXp agents. We definitely would have done this opportunity because it creates passive income hypothetically so much quicker and with so much less hassle and risk versus rental property. It's incredible. So
well,
when
you lose all the employing broker headaches, you lose all the, you know, emotional day-to-day headaches, and you can all of a sudden have an agent in Oklahoma, and you've never stepped foot in the state.
Yeah,
but one of your
right.
agents, one of your agents knows somebody there, right? And so your group starts to grow organically. And I talk to people who are like, well, I'm not a recruiter, and I'm not a this and a that, and I'm bad at talking to people. Like, well, if you're bad at talking to people, real estate might not be your profession. But if you're you know, if you're bad at recruiting, it's because you've never had something to recruit to. And plus, you really don't have to recruit in eXp. I mean, when you go to when you text the word my eXp to 31996, you'll see that 7-minute video does the job for you. And anybody who joins up with eXp can get this video, and you share that video with someone, and it's either a thumbs up or a thumbs down or a question mark. Two out of three of those are great. Someone's expressed an interest in learning how to develop themselves, learning how to create a different future for the family, learning how to create a different future for themselves, and, you know, possibly save their marriage because they're not constantly worried about money, possibly, you know, invest in their kids and avoid therapy down the road, right? I mean, there are all sorts of reasons people get into finding their why, but you can go really deep really fast. And plus, you know, even if you – like I remember when I used to sit in the apple pie shop with my parents. I think it was called like Poppin' Fresh Pies back in the day in the Midwest. And we would do 2 times 2 times 2 times 2 times 2 while we waited for pie to arrive. And, you know, you're very quickly up over a couple of million, you know, when you do the multiplication. So let's just say you attract two people and they attract two people. And let's say it takes you a year to have two people fall into your lap that want to switch brokerages and see the value in this. And it takes them a year, and it takes them a year, and it takes them a year, right? And you only attract two people. The way that will multiply out, and I'm never going to say it's going to go 2 by 2 by 2 by 2. It'll probably go 2 by 10 by 1 by 5. But however that grows out, the numbers still add up so quickly to just a stable financial future that can exist long after you've decided not to sell real estate.
Yeah, and that, in like you said, you get paid multiple ways, which is the it goes hand in hand with what Julie and I preach in Harris Rules, our book. You know, you got to create multiple lead generators, i.e., multiple spokes, but you also want to create multiple income sources, and that's the that only comes when your spokes that you've created to generate the leads result in you making profit. And with that profit, you reinvest it, and then hypothetically, you want to have multiple sources of income. That way, if one of the sources of income isn't as strong one year, you know, then maybe the others will. That kind of thing, that approach to business and life and wealth accumulation is just in perfect alignment with. That's the reason it's so fun talking with all these eXp agents, because they're so they get it. You know, that's the other thing, Rick. It's really fascinating when you know you have a true north. When you know you have a path forward that could not be any clearer, that has to feel like a revelation. Like, you don't have to try to figure out your way into being rich where your money works for you. You no longer work for your money. You have a clear path. What does that feel like emotionally?
Emotionally, it feels awesome, Tim. I got to tell you, like, looking forward and having a dream, a hope, and a future, like, there's possible joy. I talk to a lot of agents that have been in the business 15, 20 years. They're getting kind of beat down, and they're kind of getting burned out, but they have no retirement set up. They don't have multiple rental properties. They don't have multiple people running around, giving them too large a share of their commission to keep them afloat, with the team model. I think that's kind of like just almost taking advantage of people. Not to talk badly about teams, there's a lot of training and leads that go with that. But when I talk to people, and when I talk to team leaders that have come over to EXP, you know what the number one reason they did it? It was for their team.
Retention. Yeah.
Well, no,
All for
it
their
was for
team.
the
Sure.
team, and because they said, "Look, I've hit it, right? I'm, they're talking to me. They're like, I'm making $200,000, $300,000 a year. Some of them even more. But I've done it on the backs of other people. And if I leave, those people are going to have nothing. And here's a way where it's a completely level playing field. I can teach them to play my exact game, and they can dial in whatever income they want. And when I leave, they still have that. And so
Well,
I'm
it
doing
but
it to reward the team members that have served me so well, that have learned from me so well, that have invested in me and my family. This is their chance to give back.
and the flip side of it's true too. I mean, maybe you're like you. Everyone who's built a team knows the biggest problem is essentially as soon as people become successful, they have their gears are spinning and they're thinking about, well, I'll just do this myself. And that's the reason that so many of these teams, one of the many reasons that so many of the team model is wrought with peril. The biggest one being for 99% of the agents listening right now, yes, have staff, maybe have two or three assistants, but don't do this big team thing because your profit margins are terrible. And there's been study after study after study but that doesn't even account for the human turmoil that goes on in your life as your key people quit, as they go off to do their own, competing entities that are literally competing in the same market as you, and what you've done is you've essentially schooled up your biggest competitor. Well, what's fascinating is that EXP makes it so that if that happens to your team, it's not so bad because those people who are on your team, who are hypothetically on your part of your revenue team as far as EXP, even if they decide to branch out and do their own thing, you're still benefiting from them financially. And that's a new paradigm for people who've basically been stung so many times from their teams, building them up and then just tearing them back down. So an interesting, definite partnership that all of you should definitely be exploring is EXP Realty. So Rick, what is the act? How do they get that video again that you created?
Sure. So text the word my EXP, MYEXP, to 31996. That's
All
my
right, great.
EXP to 31996.
So you're obviously a very smart, very successful, hardworking, focused. I like the fact when I texted you the other day, you said, "I'm sorry, I'm on a date with my wife. I'm not going to work while I'm on a date with my wife." I respected that. You got your head screwed on straight. You are a small broker, and you saw the advantage, just the different pivots you've made in your marketplace. If someone wants to call you directly, can they? Or text you directly?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. My cell phone is 303-589-2320. Again, that's 303-589-2320. And it's probably best to text me first and I'll call back. But absolutely happy to talk to anybody, whether you've learned about EXP and signed up under somebody else, or whether you've learned about EXP here, or if you just want to talk about investment properties and how to find investors and cash behind it. Anything we talked about, I'm happy to share.
And I watched that video. It's fantastic. So make sure you text the word MYEXP, right, to 31996. Text the word MYEXP to 31996, or if you'd like to call Rick directly, you can as well. So, sir, I really appreciate your time. That hour just flew by. I certainly appreciate everyone. Yeah, it was fun. We knew it would be. So, everyone, if you need to get hold of Rick, you have his contacts right there. In the meantime, go ahead and text the word MYEXP to 31996. Have a fantastic day. We'll talk to you on the show tomorrow.
This program has been a presentation by Tim and Julie Harris, Real Estate Coaching. For more information on our real estate coaching and training programs, visit our website at timandjulieharris.com. Remember to tune in weekdays at noon for upcoming shows, and until next time, thank you for listening to Real Estate Coaching Radio with Tim and Julie Harris.